Вы слушаете подкаст SBS Russian. Новости, актуальные события и интересные интервью на русском языке.
Australia is a very interesting case in our report. There is some good news and some bad news. Let's start with the good news. It's one of the very few countries in the analysis that includes 41 member states of the European Union and the OECD members. So Australia is one of the very few countries where there are no differences in children's reading achievement by immigration status. And that is really quite remarkable because in most of the countries in our analysis, children from immigrant families, either first or second generation immigrant children, do substantially worse in reading than their peers who are born in the country of the test. But Australia and Canada manage to ensure that children with an immigrant background do just as well as their native-born peers. And in fact, second-generation immigrant children in Australia do better than their peers with no immigration background whatsoever. So that's quite remarkable, and that's the good news. Now, the bad news is that Australia is ranked in the bottom third on all three indicators in our analysis. So just to clarify that one, the main indicator on which we're ranking all the countries, and where Australia is 30th out of 38 countries, that is the gap between some of the best and worst performing children in reading tests at the age of 15 at secondary school based on data from the PISA test that is run by the OECD. At the same time, Australia is also in the bottom third on the comparable indicator for primary school, and that's where we use data for children in the fourth grade, roughly age 10. And again, that's the gap between some of the best and worst performing students in reading. And then again, Australia is ranked in the bottom third, 36 out of 41 countries on access to preschool education 1 year before the start of official or compulsory schooling. And by the way, that is a sustainable development goal indicator, something that all the countries of the world have signed up to guarantee 100% access to preschool education to all children everywhere by 2030. So that would be the bad news for Australia. Consistent bottom third ranking on all three indicators in our comparison.
Екатерина, when you look at the factors that influence those rankings, you mention here in your report that what matters is the country of origin, the language, and parents' occupations. Could you expand on this, please?
Right. So for Australia, the country of origin isn't really an issue. As I've already mentioned, second-generation immigrant students are doing better than anyone else. But the other factors, such as the occupational status of the children's parents matters a lot everywhere, including in Australia. So quite simply, children with better educated parents and those who work in higher status or, you know, more professional or managerial occupations, children from such families are doing substantially better at the tests that we're studying. So here we are focusing on reading because it's a gateway subject to many other academic subjects. One factor that's related to that is socioeconomic segregation between schools, which is a factor in Australia as well, particularly at the age of 15. So children from more privileged families are more likely to go to better schools, schools where there are more children from similarly privileged backgrounds, quite likely schools with more engaged teachers, and so on and so forth. So one of the ways to lower such gaps between better and worse performing students would, of course, to make the school system somewhat less segregated, somewhat more uniform, so that children from different backgrounds would be studying together and mixing together.
Was it a surprise to see Latvia being at the very top in terms of equality in education?
It's somewhat of a surprise because Latvia is not the richest or, you know, wealthiest country in our analysis of 41 member states of the EU and the OECD. But once we really dig into it, we realize that maybe it shouldn't be such a huge surprise because, first of all, Latvia has quite a uniform school system. In terms of the first age at which children start being selected into different tracks by ability, in some countries like the Netherlands, that's as early as the age of 10. But in Latvia, that is quite late, at the age of 16. Latvia also has very few children enrolled in private schools, 2%, as opposed to 44% in Australia. It also has very few students ever having to repeat a grade or stay behind, one of the lowest rates in the comparison. So really, if you look at the school system of countries like Latvia holistically, you see that those are very uniform systems with very little segregation. And maybe it shouldn't be a surprise that countries like Latvia and Estonia are doing well.
So what is the main conclusion you as the author and other co-authors of the report came to?
That the characteristics of the school systems matter, although it is difficult to pinpoint just one factor that matters the most, be it the age of selection of students into different tracks or grade reputation or private schools versus public schools. But it is important to look at the school system holistically and draw some conclusions about whether it's really working for equality among students or not. And the second biggest thing is that we need to reduce socioeconomic inequalities between children. And yes, that's a very technical term, but what it means is that social policies need to work together with education policies so that children from less rich families are not in any way disadvantaged in their education. So that one way or another, they have the same access to high-quality school equipment, good teachers, enriching extracurricular activities, and even things like a really good breakfast at the start of their day. Whether they get it at home or at school, that doesn't matter. But ultimately, all children, regardless of their family background, need to have access to the best resources that their country can offer. And certainly all of these 41 countries have the resources to offer the best to their children. So social policies matter at least as much as education policies and the characteristics of the school system. Well, one of the biggest revelations is that we shouldn't just look at the country's national wealth and decide that they should do better or worse. Among the world's richest countries, which are quite a diverse group themselves, there is no relationship between national wealth and their rankings in our report on inequality in children's education. And that more uniform school systems can actually lead to more equal results among children. And countries with more equal results tend to have higher average standards overall. So there is no necessary trade-off between equality and high standards. All of those things could be achieved together.
SBS Russian. Ваша диаспора, ваши истории.